I've stated over and over again in this series of preaching, it's one thing to get the victory. It's another thing to keep the victory. I have not near the battle in getting the victory as I do in keeping the victory. We come together and the body of believers begin to pray. And it's much easier for me to get the victory at that particular moment than it is for me to keep the victory on what the world says is Blue Monday. When the enemy, when all hell seems to be turned loose and there's no one there but the Lord, we've got to totally rely on the Lord to help us. It's easier to get the victory than to keep the victory. In the Greek, as I begin to research, the word victory means, number one, deliverance, help, safety, salvation. The first victory we ever accomplish when we are sinners is that we've been born. Salvation's come in our life. We've had deliverance from the past life. We're safe in the arms of the Lord. He's our help. I can never get salvation outside of the Lord. So we've been preaching, and I've covered a lot of ground. We've been in 1 John, started out in 1 Corinthians 15. We've been for probably the last 3 weeks, or at least the last 2.5 weeks, in the book of Joshua. We started out in chapter 3, taking you through the battle of the unknown. There has to be a battle before victory. Joshua stated to the children of Israel, "You have not hitherto been this way before. This is a battle of the unknown. We have everyone faced battles that we are not aware why we're there. We don't know what the battle's all about. But if we let the God of every battle fight this battle and lead us and direct us, we've been for the last couple, three services, bringing you into a place, showing you how vital, how important it is. God spoke it plain to Joshua and said, everything that I've commanded must be followed out. If we let down in one area, folks, I believe the word has defined to me that if I'm guilty in one point, I'm guilty in all. He said, if I've looked upon a woman lusted in my heart, I'm the same as a murderer. That's what the Bible says. Simply saying, whether it be this fault or that fault, it's easy for us to look at others and say, oh my, how could this happen? We never know what someone else is going through. But I know this, in every battle that we go, every conflict that we're in, if we'll look to the Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith, He's going to take us through. Somebody said, if we can stand the pull, He'll pull us through. I believe that. Do you? Now, I have felt this more real probably than you all know the last year or two. I don't know of any message other than maybe Easter Sunday, and I started out on that and couldn't quit. I preached, what, a month at least. On He's not there, but I know where He is. But there's very few times that I preach a message that I only preach one time. And somebody says, well, I've heard that before. I beg your pardon. Now, I've come over some of the same things in this for the last few weeks. But God's took me to a new level and new ground in this every message, and I can't get away from it. If I have to go out on the backside of the desert and proclaim it, I've got to proclaim it. Amen. I can't get away from it. Amen. I have the victory over. Some of you, we've got all these tapes. If you'd like to get these tapes, I never try to sell anybody on my preaching. I'm not a preacher at all. But I can tell you this, when the Holy Ghost comes, when the preacher comes, I preach right beside Jambox, not here anymore. He used to be one of my favorites back in his younger days. When he preached some of the series, Sister Baker gave us a series of tapes, Discipline, and it's Discipline of the Impossible Place, Discipline of the Winding Way, Discipline of the Bitter Place, Discipline throughout the children of Israel coming out of Egypt bondage, how God disciplined them as he took them up harness, Shambok said, out of the land of Egypt. And I love to hear that. Love to hear that. I'm not trying to sell my preaching on anybody. And I'm sure not a speaker at all. When I preach, the Holy Ghost has to help me, or I'm not a preacher at all. Has to be the Holy Ghost preach through me. Going to go to a little different area tonight. We started this morning some ground that God had showed me about Rahab the harlot. As in Joshua chapter 2, she hid the spies that came. Going to go back to that here in a little bit. We started in 3. We've covered 3, 4, 5, and part of 6. And we're going back to chapter 2. Hadn't been in that. Just quoted a little bit of that this morning. But how that God laid on my heart something I'd never heard preached. I've never seen it in a commentary. God laid this on my heart. And I'll tell you, folks, I found things in commentaries that I thought was beneficial and very useful to me. But some things that I find in commentaries, I can't see it all the way they see. But I can tell you, when God gives it to you, you can take it direct to the bank. You can take it direct to the bank. And what I saw in this, as the Lord sent with Joshua sending the spies to Jericho, all those Canaanites there, here was one harlot that stated to those spies that we have heard how that God, how he parted the Red Sea. He destroyed the Egyptians and said, I know. Now here's the difference. Every one of those that was in Canaan, this harlot stated to them that their hearts melted and they had no courage in them, knowing that they knew terrorists coming to our land. The God of many battles is coming. And Rahab the harlot said that I know that the Lord hath given thee this land. She knew that. And she began to make the statement. Here's what made the difference. It's not enough for us to believe that God's the answer. We got to go farther than that. Most of the people you talk to today would tell you they know that this world is in trouble. They know the churches are in trouble. They know that God is the answer. But here's what Rahab the harlot stated in chapter 2. We're going to go back to this here in a little bit. But she stated to the spies how that there's no God in the heavens above or in the earth beneath like the God of the children of Israel, like your God. There's no other God. There is many gods, but they're false gods. There's only one true God. And she made a covenant. They made a covenant together there that day. She believed in this God. And she's knowing if there's going to be life given, it'll be through God. It'll be through God. All of the others, the courage left them. Their hearts melted. But they didn't call upon this God. They didn't look to him for the hope. I have the victory over. The things that we have been taught, if we're not careful, I can tell you, folks, I'll take what God says over anything I've been taught, over traditional things. I'll take what God says over anything any man said. The Bible says, let every man be a liar, but let God's word be truth. It's forever settled in heaven. It's truth. I like what Billy said to that individual. Look up all the scriptures you want. If it ain't coming out of this King James Bible, then I'm not going to take it for face value. I'm not saying there ain't some truths in those other Bibles. I'm not saying there ain't even some truths in the Harrison Daily Times. But it ain't all truth. This Word of God, this old King James, Word of God's inspired by holy men of old. Not as the Holy Spirit moved, but as the Holy Ghost moved upon them, inspired them, this Word was written. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Going to preach a little while. Now that wasn't the preaching. Don't hold that on me for the clock time. I said this morning I was going to preach 30 minutes and wound up still preaching until 20 after 12. But don't hold that against me. Maybe I'm more excited. I know Diane says, well, I've seen folks leaving all through my preaching. That kind of bothers me, but Diane says, well, maybe they had to leave. Well, I hope they did, because if they left and they didn't have to, I'm afraid they might be in trouble. And you can tell them I said so if you wasn't one of them that left. But it's not in trouble with me. It ain't me they've got to worry about. It's God they've got to worry about. You know what, folks? I preached down at East Lawn. And could I just testify a moment? I preached down at East Lawn in the revival here 3 weeks ago, Diane, was it? And I don't know why those folks asked me back to preach. I'm telling you what, I busted hide from one end to the left. I cut knots, limbs. There wasn't nothing left but a stump when I left there the last revival. I preached harder than I ever preached anywhere. And I could tell those folks, there's probably some of them left that revival hating me the last time I was down there. I never preached so hard in my life. In fact, when I left, I got to thinking to myself, Lord, have mercy, Leo die. I can't even believe that's me preaching like that. But I never felt the anointing to preach anymore. But I saw when I went back this last time, wasn't a lot of shouting, a lot of jumping, wasn't a lot of that going on. But I saw more of a sincerity than I've ever saw. And folks, to really, really want to get closer to God. What are you saying, preacher? I can tell you, the shout's good. I stated this morning, I'm not against that shout at all. When Joshua stated to them, as we preach, we spent a lot of time in chapter 5. We spent a lot of time in the early part of chapter 6. Got about halfway through that. But as Joshua stated to them, there's 6 days you're going to march around. And the seventh day you're marching 6 times, then you're going to march the 7th time. That means the completion or the perfection of God, the number 7. And you're not to say a word until the word is told you to shout, then you're to shout. Now I can tell you folks, when God says shout, that's when the shout's right, isn't it? That's when the shout's good, when God says shout. Hallelujah. Going to change a little bit tonight, shift gears some. Going to be reading in the book of Deuteronomy if you want to find that. Deuteronomy chapter 7. But before we read in Deuteronomy, well, let me read Deuteronomy first. Then we'll go to Joshua chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 7. If you can feel like it, stand with us. I'll do my best. You help me preach a little while. I'll do my best to not hold you a long time. Probably be harder on me to preach than will you listen. And somebody said we're under severe thunderstorm warnings or even some tornadoes. Well, I don't know any place I'd rather be. My brother-in-law, Jerry Cowan, preached here. Lord, I don't know how many years ago it's been. I had an old Ford pickup. It's been 10, 11, 12 years ago. I had a 90 model Ford truck, and it was a late summer. I believe maybe August, I'm not sure, but it didn't get dark till 9:30. We never let out of here before 8:30 or 9, I know, even on Sunday night, and it was still daylight, and it was still. He preached on, Lord, hide me till the storm passes by. I never will forget that. And when we left here, I mean, no weather predicting any storms that I knew of, and there was a tornado come through, tore down some things in Bergman, and I'm telling you, tore up things everywhere. I'm trying to catch Diane, get back to church, and got right in the middle of the thing down here, blowing sheet metal across the road, treetops across the road, trees across the road, blowing cars halfway around the road. And I didn't know any place I wanted to be but right back here. I was trying to get back. Couldn't get Diane caught to get her back to the house of the Lord. But then I tried, since we couldn't get here, I tried to find a hole to get in. Couldn't even find that. So the Lord had to hide us till the storm passed by. Hallelujah. All right, going to read tonight in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. And he's commanding them not to commune with the nations that's forbidden. He's foretelling. They're going in. God's done give them warnings of what not to be partakers of. Don't covet after the things that's there. Destroy those things. I've found, folks, if we don't destroy the things that comes our way that God says will be a snare to us, They will snare us. They'll pull us in if we don't destroy them. They'll destroy you if you don't destroy it. The Word of God says in verse number 24, chapter 7 of the book of Deuteronomy, verse number 24, and he shall deliver their kings into thine hands. Thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou hast destroyed them. Listen to verse 25 and verse 26. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination unto thine house, lest thou be cursed like it, but thou shalt utterly deceit. That means hate or loath. How you say that word? Loath. Remember how that the Bible talks about when the manna came, after they eat it for a while, they loathed it. That ain't not, and me being an ignorant, unlearned hillbilly, I thought they loved it. That ain't it. They hated it. They hated it. They loved it at first, and then they loathed it. They loved it, then they loathed it. That's the way of a lot of Christians. After a while, it kind of gets old, doesn't it? And they begin to hate the nature, the things that God has called them from into. Listen to what he said. Utterly deceit. We read to you in the book of Joshua, he said, utterly destroy, which you have to hate before you can destroy. Utterly deceit it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. But chapter 8, verse number 1, all the commandments which I've commanded thee this day shalt thou observe to do, all of them, he said, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Turn with us to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. We're going to read a few verses of scripture. I'd like to read a bunch, but we'll just back up and fill you in. Verse number 19, I want to focus on, and we'll back up and fill you in on the rest of it. And it shall be, this is the spies talking to Rahab the harlot, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the streets, his blood shall be upon his head, and we shall be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. I'm going to stop there. Could go on. I'm going to stop right there. You can be seated. I'm going to continue and preach a little while on I have the victory over. Want you to notice here, as we stated this morning, I tell you, folks, as God impressed this in my heart about Rahab the harlot, how the covenant was made. She had already said to the spies, I know she's confessing. Now, as we stated to you, the spies were let down on a cord out her window. And the spies stated to her that when we return back, the Lord's given us this land. When the time comes that we're to come back, take this land. You have this cord out your window, the scarlet cord. And in that, folks, her house didn't collapse. Her walls stood. Her family was secure. But listen, the covenant that was made, Rahab the harlot said to them, swear unto me in this oath is a covenant being made that you'll spare our lives because we've showed mercy unto you. She stated, of my father's house and all that's within. That means father's brothers, the nieces, the nephew, everybody that they brought in. I'm trying to get to a point here tonight. Friend, we must be in the house. We can't be out of the house. Here's what The spies said, when they began to talk to her before she let them down the wall, said, those that are outside this house, if they go in the streets, we're not guilty of the blood of them that are out there. But those that will be in this house, they're going to be safe. If you utter not our business, you can't go tell that we've been here. You can't utter our business, or the covenant is of no effect. I can tell you, folks, what the spies are saying here, Joshua records that the same things, sis, that we stand for while we're right here in this house, we've got to stand for when we're out there. We can't be different when we go out into the world than we are when we're right here in this house. Sis sang the song, Sister Beth, there's got to be a difference from the saved and the lost. We stated this morning, there's a distinguished difference between the world, the reason why that the house of Rahab was spared. The covenant was made because she believed and she confessed. The New Testament says, if we believe in our heart, Paul speaking, and we confess with our mouth, Rahab the harlot said, there's not a God in the heaven or the earth like the God of the Israelites. There's not no other gods like them. You see, she hadn't been taught that. Diane and I were talking today. They were heathen people. They'd never been taught that. But I can tell you, friend, God can reach down anywhere and he can do a work in anybody. Those that are willing to let God do a work, God can do a work in them. Listen, as we stated this morning, I was going to go on in this. If you begin to research, you can see the Bible says Rahab the harlot. She was of the Christ was of the lineage of Rahab the harlot. Her lineage is in Israel as of today. From Boaz, I believe. If I'm not, I believe this is correct, that she was either the grandmother or great grandmother possibly of Boaz. Sometimes these generations go a little further if you don't really look into it, but I know that was of the lineage of Boaz, right down the Bible states of Christ. And I thought, as I begin to look at this, folks, you'd look and you'd think there's no hope for America today in most cases, but I can tell you, the Lord's reaching out today, and he's given victory. Sure, there's a battle. The reason why that most folks today, Brother Jim, don't ever get victories is because they're not willing to have a conflict or a struggle. They don't want to go against the flow. They don't want to go against the traditions. They don't want to go against a comfortable zone that folks are in tonight. But I'm here to tell somebody, if we don't get in the house and stay in the house, that we are not going to make it. If we're out, that blood, that scarlet cord typified the New Testament dispensation, the blood of Christ being upon this house is the only thing that's going to keep us safe today. It's the only thing that'll keep us safe. It's the only thing that'll give us victory. We sang the song about victory in Jesus. That's the only thing going to give us victory, is having Jesus in the house. Having Jesus in the house. Did you hear what I read this morning and I read tonight? Didn't read what I read this morning tonight, but as the Lord spoke in chapter 6, and I believe it's verse number 19, that he said, for them to see unto theirself. They better know, you got, the Bible plainly states, we've got to work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. Now, there's a multitude of folks that's going over to walk, march around and going to possess Jericho. And I can tell you, friend, it was up to each individual to know that there was commandments given. In chapter 8 here of the book of Deuteronomy, he stated unto them, see, that you do or keep all, not just part, but all the commandments. How much sin does it take to destroy a relationship? It doesn't take but one sin if it isn't under the blood. One sin can separate you from relationship with God. But we all have sinned, come short of the glory, but we have to put those sins under the blood. We have to find the place. I remember hearing Brother Charles Christian many times as he preached over the years, and he'd say something like this. He'd say, "Friend, if you ever see me make a mistake," he said, "don't stop and judge me there. Follow me just a little bit farther. And if you will, eventually you'll see me somewhere down on my knees crying out to God." And friend, that's a sin that will not bring you to a devil's hell. If it's been put under the blood, it's to never be remembered anymore. But I can tell you today, there's many that's bringing. They're not wanting to keep all the commandments. They're just taking out the parts that they like. This day and time, most folks preaches nothing about sin. It's all about the bless me's. But I can tell you this, folks, there's a lot in the Word of God that He says don't do. Don't do. God forbids. And we've got to preach that also if we intend to have the victory. If we intend to have the victory, we've got to observe and do all this. And as we stated this morning, we never did get down to preach on this. We went a different direction. But as we stated, everyone was to keep themselves from the accursed thing. I've thought before, I've made this statement, but I can tell you, the Lord's changed my mind. You ever get your mind changed? I've seen folks that, in churches, that people would be sitting in church, and all of a sudden, one of the lay members had run off with one of the other lay members' wives. And I made this statement, that preacher wasn't preaching it like he ought to. Diane's kind of called me down for that. And I didn't listen to her much. But the Lord got a hold of me and called me down. I listened to the Lord, I can tell you. Because it's finally, it come home if you ain't careful. Not saying anybody here's run off with somebody else's wife. But things, if we're not careful, it's easy for us to look at others and see faults there. And we think, well, boy, they just ain't hearing it right. Listen. Here's what Joshua said. Every one of them heard this, sis. Every one of them knew what thus saith the Lord had said. You must keep yourself. See that you certainly keep yourself from the accursed thing. I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, I can't keep you from it. You've got to keep yourself. Even the book of Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, recorded, keep thyself in the love of God. Nobody else can do that for you. You've got to work in that area for yourself. Friend, it's one thing. You might have had the victory this morning, but it's another thing to keep the victory. I've had the victory and lost it before I got home. It's one thing to get it, but it's another thing to keep it. The children of Israel. Now listen, I'm going to jump the gun just a little bit in this. We're not finished with chapter 6. We're going to go on to chapter 7 after we do here later. But we can see in chapter 7 they go to a little place called Ai. Now I've got, this ain't going to be the message I'll go to in that, but I want to just expound on this for a moment. The march around the Jericho, the writer of Hebrews declares this was a battle by faith. Nowhere does it record that there was a man's life lost. Nowhere of the children of Israel. Why? Because in chapter 5, the last part of chapter 5, Joshua saw a man stand with a sword in his hand. And he asked this man, "Art thou for us or for our adversary?" And he said, "Of the captain of the Lord's host am I come." I can tell you, it was Jesus right there fighting that battle. And he saw him, and the man with the sword, this is typifying. If he's captain, mean he's in charge. He's typifying, "I'm ready for war." And the Bible says, he said, "Pull off thy shoes, for in the ground you stand holy." And Joshua bowed himself to the ground, and in chapter chapter 6, God gives him every word to detail and what to do and how to do it for the battle to be victorious. They'd followed from chapter 3. They were sanctified before they come across the Jordan. The stones were carried as a memorial of victory. The stones were carried back as a memorial that when the waters of the Jordan receded back, those sins of rebellion that they had been under as they come through that wilderness had buried in that sea. As David said, as far as the east is from the west, hast thou forgiven our sins and buried in our sins in the depth of the sea. Micah said, but as I begin to think about this, how that the children of Israel, they come on over the victory after being sanctified, set apart. They come on over into victory and then they march on over. We've got to be in the place. We've seen the captain of the Lord's host. We've got to fell in the place on the holy ground. You see, that's a word that's not used much anymore. Holy ground. Most folks don't want to hear you talk about holy. I can tell you today, friend, if he ever was, God is a holy God, and he desires praise from holy people today. Nothing I could do would make me holy, but everything he's done is what makes us holy tonight. Everything he's done is what makes us holy. As we look at this a little farther, as the children of Israel has won the battle here, as they march around, they've kept everything in detail, starting out and being set apart. First step toward victory is letting God put us on the wheel, mold us. But we can see they go to a battle. You know, some people fall in little battles when they've just went through big battles. You ever see that happen? You ever go down in defeat in a little battle? I remember one time, and I didn't, you know, you think, well, you don't want to be a crybaby, but I can tell you, when you get hit in the eye socket, it hurts. I believe it was Mike, it might have been Aaron. One of the kids, we scuffling around, we was playing, and they just little, 2 or 3 years old, 2.5 or 3, little old bitty fist about that big around. We's down on the floor scuffling. Whichever one of them little rascals it was popped me as dead center in the eye socket as you could lay your fist. I mean, laid it on me. It wasn't no Muhammad Ali lick, but it was a lick enough in the eye socket. I felt lightning shoot right down through the back of my head. Nerves went into my spinal cord. And these tears flew all down my face, and I whined like a little kid. Fell over on the floor, and that little 2.5-year-old, now you're talking about a 175-pound man that was in his late 30s, early 40s at that time, but I'm telling you, that hurt something furious. I've been through some big battles that I didn't get wounded like I did in that little struggle, and I'm saying that for a reason. Some of you might have come through a great conflict. They come through a battle of Jericho. Why did they conquer in that? Everything was done in detail, the way God said for it to be done. Set apart. They'd seen the captain of the Lord's host, been in holy ground. They'd been to a place they could hear the commandments of God and follow out. It wasn't, as James said, that they're being a forgetful here, going their way, not even remembering who or what they are in God. They knew what they were. They was their own business. And the seventh march around in the completion, the perfection of God. Number 7, 6 days he created the heavens and the earth, everything therein. The seventh day was a day of rest, meaning perfection or completion or all in all in God. That's why 7 trumpets, 7 priests, 7 days, 7 times around, and 7 marches on the seventh day. Perfection, completeness, and they did that right down to detail. And the Bible says the walls fell flat down, meaning there's no obstacle for them to overcome. Faith fought this battle. Listen, folks, sometimes it takes more faith to get through a battle than it does other times. But as I looked at this, and I thought, Brother Nathan, I was talking about, I don't know if the ground opened up and it took the debris ground level. There's no obstacle there. It fell flat down, and they went in into victory. Do you know today that the only two that I find record of that their whole entire house was saved was Noah and his family in the book of Genesis, and Rahab, by the way, she's an outcast. She's a harlot, if you will. But because she believed he's the only true God, there's not another God like him. And I put out the scarlet cord typifying the blood of Christ. I want my house saved. And I can tell you by that, her whole house was saved. And the only two people I find record of their whole house was saved was Noah and his family and Rahab the harlot and her family. What a battle, but what a victory. It has to be a battle before a victory. And in that battle, we hold true till the victory comes. I said I was going to jump the gun a moment. Go to chapter 7. These 36 men lost their life. What a little conflict. I got whipped by a 2.5-year-old. Well, if you'd have got hit in the eye socket, I dare to think what you lacked didn't look like too. I mean, a little old bitty eye like that just fit just right to plunge me right in the eye. Been a bigger eye to hit me on the eye bone. But no, it went right in the eye socket. And I mean, I was defeated by that little conflict. And here they go. And what'd they say? Well, I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we brag when things happen. It ain't us at all. It's God. It's the God we serve that's done that. They didn't fight this battle. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, said by faith, the walls of Jericho came down. It wasn't anything the children of Israel done. It's all of what God done. God just allowed them to come in and reap the victory behind the captain of the Lord's host as he fought that battle. Not a one of them's life was recorded that was lost of the children of Israel, but now they send out just a few men to fight because they be little. And here's the difference. He said in chapter 6 and verse number 19, see unto yourself that you touch not the accursed thing. Don't take of the accursed thing. In the book of Deuteronomy, he said even the gold and the silver's to be burned. The things that have been corrupted, it's a cursed thing. Don't you take it. In the book of Joshua chapter 6, it was to be put in the treasury of God. And here's a man that brought a curse into the next battle. I can tell you, folks, how I live will affect how you live. How I live will affect how you live. We hear it stated all the time. What I do is my own business. Doesn't affect nobody else. That's a lie. That's a lie. How you live affects somebody else. It'll make a difference on this young generation. It'll make a difference on our children. It'll make a difference on our church. It'll make a difference on our community. It'll make a difference in our nation, how we live and how we think and how we motivate in the things of God. It makes all the difference in the world. It's not enough to just talk victory, but we must walk the victory. One person comes and brings. Did you notice what he stated in verse number 19? I didn't read it tonight, but I read it this morning, never did get to it in the book of Joshua, that he said that it will bring the accursed to Israel. It's not just Achan's house that's affected in this. Now there's 36 men lost their lives. There's children that doesn't have a daddy. There's wives that doesn't have a husband. And now there's men that lost their life that was needless simply because somebody coveted. Somebody allowed the accursed thing to come in their house. Listen, folks, I'm the only one that can guard this house. I'm the only one. I can pray for you. But unless you pray for yourself, I cannot protect your house. I cannot guard your house. In the book of Matthew chapter 12, 12 and verse number 43, I believe it is. The Bible says when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, it walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. And this is what it says. I know what I'll do. I'll go into my house. I declare to the devil this house doesn't belong to him anymore. He'd like to think it does, Brother Kevin, but it doesn't at all. This house belongs to the Lord. How am I going to distinguish that and let the world and let the devil know it? As we stated this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19, he said, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Listen, folks, I believe as Rahab the harlot had out that scarlet cord, that scarlet thread there typifying when they come back, the Israelites come back, they'd know the house. God knew right where she's at. That's why her house was on the city wall. And this, the Bible says the walls fell flat down, but Rahab was spared and everybody in the house. Every one of us, do you know Rahab the harlot was delivered from evil spirits? Does anybody know that? You, if you're at any age at all, you know what a harlot is. And I can tell you, she had to be delivered for that before she come into the lineage of Christ. She had to be delivered for that from that before she was spared, that death didn't overtake her. God showed mercies. And her house is spared. And don't you think for a moment, folks, that she didn't have battles. She didn't have conflicts down through the times after she got out of that and the victory. I don't care who we are. We overcome things, and here comes the devil. I've read to you or quoted to you in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. The Lord cleaned that house up. Here's what makes the difference. Now, if we're not careful, I heard this man say one time, he worked on a job. This man worked on a job with another man. And he said, you know, I worked with him for almost 2 months before I found out he's a Pentecostal preacher. I said, my God in heaven, something wrong. If you're around me over a day and you don't hear me say Jesus or sing about him or do something, Brother Kevin, something's wrong. Now, what are you getting at, preacher? I'm telling you how to keep the victory today. Keep that scarlet cord out. There has to be something to distinguish the difference. How did they know when they come? They knew because he said the same cord that we were let down on, the scarlet cord. Keep it out your window. It's to be a testimony. It's to show that you've showed mercy. Now, God's got a covenant. He's going to show mercy and favor unto you. Listen, folks. Folks, I believe when that house is cleaned up, every one of us know these battles. I've stated earlier in this. Now, there's some things it's easy to get victory over. It wasn't hard for me to get victory over wanting to bungee jump. It wasn't hard for me to get victory over wanting to parachute. It ain't hard for me to get victory over all of those things. But there's some things it's hard to get victory over. Now, I can tell you, there's conflicts day after day after day. But Paul said, though the outward man perish, the inward man's renewed. How often? Day by day. We've got to keep the inward man renewed in the things of God. How to get the victory? I have the victory over. And if we don't have that testimony, we preached out of the book of John back a few weeks ago. If we don't have that testimony, folks, we are not going to keep the victory. The house has been cleaned up. It's been emptied. And it's swept. And it's garnished. Now, how do we keep the victory? We keep the victory by putting the furnishings of God in that house. It's not enough to just pray till God delivers. I can tell you, if Rahab the harlot, you listen to this, if she'd have just used the Lord as an escape goat, many people are today. The doctor says you're not going to live. I'm telling you, they get more righteous than they've ever been. You got cancer. Your heart's about to quit ticking. Oh, dear God in heaven. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. And I'm telling you, we can call on the Lord in a serious way. But when the sun starts shining, after the storms come and pass, after the dilemma, after the battle, are we able to keep that testimony? Are we able to keep that scarlet cord out that window? I can tell you, friend, Rahab the harlot had trial after trial. But knowing, somebody says, how do you know she kept the faith? I can tell you she did, because the Bible says that her lineage was in Israel as even today. That the people were blessed because of her. She kept the faith, not meaning there wasn't a battle, not meaning that she didn't make a mistake, but saying she still believed that there's only one God that's able to deliver and save. There's only one God that's able to take us through and give us victory in the battles. And we got to pray to this God to furnish the house after it's been ridded of those unbelieving spirits, after it's been ridded of the things that would bring terror and would bring defeat in our lives. We can say, God, a lot of us are just satisfied to get a deliverance, but the deliverance won't stay if we don't fill the house with the furnishings of God. I'm not saying you've got to be a preacher, song leader, deacon, or teacher. But I'm saying this. You better have a testimony. You better have God to put the furnishings in that house. Joshua said to every one of them, Achan was one of them. And it probably penetrated till he got in there. You know, sometimes temptations are great. Kind of like the little boy. Mom fixed a big old chocolate cake and said, now you kids don't get in this cake till after dinner. I'll give you a cake after dinner. And we're just going to call him Johnny. You know, Johnny's here tonight. We'll just call him Johnny. Mama misses Johnny. Says, Johnny, where you at? Says, I'm in the kitchen. What are you doing? I'm fighting temptation. He's sitting in the kitchen staring at that big old chocolate cake. The worst place you could be. We want victory over things, and we go right to the things where we shouldn't be there at all. I can tell you, friend, if God's brought us out of an area, we don't have no business going back to that area. A young man that I knew very well back several years ago, I really believe that the Lord saved him. I believe the Lord called him out. He was into drugs, alcohol, and all kinds of things. He'd never been raised in church, didn't know anything about God. Had a hunger, and he'd come and ask men to die in. He'd find something in the Bible. He said, I don't understand it. He was hungry for the Word of God. 2 or 3 months, he'd done good. I mean, flourished and done good. But after a while, I talked to him, and I saw him at a party. They was having a party, and we went through there, and I thought, I believe that's so-and-so. And Diane said, oh, surely not. And I turned around and went back. Sure enough, that's who it was. And I said, what are you doing here? He said, well, I'm not drinking. He said, I just thought I'd come hang out with the guys, and I'm not drinking. I don't get me wrong. I'm not drinking. I said, listen, you can't hang out. You're not strong enough. You can't stay. He said, well, I thought I might be able to witness to him. Guess what? They witnessed to him. It wasn't 2 weeks. He's right back into that same mess. And about 3 to 4 months divorced and in prison. I can tell you, friend, as I know, been in and out of jail ever since then. If you don't keep the furnishings of God, it ain't left up to somebody else to do it. It's left up to you to do it. You've got to desire the things of God. Listen, just as Rahab knew, there's no courage, there's no hope, if you will, left. But she knew that the God the Israelites come across the Jordan with was the answer. And the only way, folks, that we're going to make it today is knowing that David said, I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, the God that created the heaven and the earth. If we keep that in mind every day when the battles come, we know if God be for us, who can be against us? We're not going down in defeat. We're going to be picked up in victory in every battle and every conflict if we'll let the weapons of God be our artillery to fight with. Let the furnishings. What are the furnishings? I couldn't tell you what yours would be. I couldn't tell you what God's placed in your life for you to do. I can tell you what one man said, I believe by the name of David. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wicked. Everything, I can tell you what Moses declared. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater treasures than all the gold and silver in Egypt, everything that Egypt held. Listen, folks, we've got to realize every day, whatever God's placed in our life, we ought to pray. You know what I pray more than anything else? Not for the Lord to give me an outstanding message to preach and give me a voice to sing. That's not what I'm praying for. I'm not praying. I'm praying for the anointing. I'm praying for the anointing. And I pray, God, help me not to fall. God, help me that if I make a mistake, that I'll see that. If I sin, that I'll see that. And I'll pray that sin be put under the blood. That's victory, folks. That's victory. We cannot have that victory. We cannot have that victory except God places the furnishings in our life. The house has been cleaned. Did you hear what I read to you? I'm trying to come to a close. Rahab the harlot, the spies stated to her, everything must stay in the house if it's going to be saved. We get outside of the house, out of the will of God, if you will, the family of God. No man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. And if we've ever needed one another, folks, we need one another today. I see things entirely different than I've ever seen it. You know why? I guess when I was younger, I know I sinned. But maybe I didn't have enough sense to know it. Yes, I don't know. But man, I see myself, I look in the mirror and I think, you're one miserable critter, you know that? You ever do that? Look at yourself and just see really how short we come. What are we looking at? We're looking in the mirror of God's Word. Our life's not to measure up with another man. Our life's to measure up with the Word of God. And when we really check our life in the mirror, I'm not talking in the mirror you comb your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face. I'm talking about in the mirror of God's Word. When we look in that mirror and we really see, I believe every one of us would say how miserable. You know what Isaiah said? Woe is me. You know what that word woe means? Grief, misery, sorrow. I'm undone, he said. I'm a man of unclean lips, but my eyes have seen the Lord. We look into the mirror of God's Word. I believe it would motivate us. Pray, God, help me to stay in the house. God, help me. The only way, folks, I'll stay in the house is the right furnishings be there. The pull of the world is much greater than Leo Dye can handle. You hear this if you hear nothing else. When you think you stand, take heed, lest you fall. I said the pull of the world is much greater than Leo Dye, but it's not much greater than the God of the heavens and of the earth that Rahab the harlot saw. Hallelujah. There's nothing any greater than this God. We can fight any battle. We can overcome any obstacle. We can be successful in the defeat in any struggle of an opponent. If God be for us, who can be against us? Let me read these words again. The graven images in Deuteronomy of their gods. The reason they be a snare. Shall you burn with fire? Thou shalt not desire the silver or the gold that is on them. You ever? Now, I could probably preach all night and not go to this, but since it's just us, you know. The gold and the silver that's on them, on their gods, when it's put through the fire, don't you desire it? You're to burn it and don't desire it. It'll be a snare to you if you do. You know, folks, I believe that the church has too fashioned after the world. We have too fashioned after the world. And Now, I'm overcoming a lot of this. You know, I stated to you, I'm through preaching now. I'm going to talk to you a minute, all right? Just a minute, Diane said. Sometimes I... go too long, wear you down. I stated to you a few weeks back, God delivered me from the expectation of the people. I love to please people, sis, but I'd much rather please God. Been here, be 19 years in the last week of this January, and I love to please you people, but I've done learned you can't please everybody. So if it comes to pleasing everybody or pleasing God, and the best I could do, I'd have to be a hypocrite to please y'all. It's too cold for some of you, too hot for others. Music's too loud for some, too low for others. So you can't please everybody. And message sermon's too long for some, too short for others. Too hard for some, not hard enough for others. So if we just please the Lord, just please the Lord. But the Lord's delivered me from the expectation of the people. But some time ago, I'd really let these things bother me. They hindered me when I'd see things that, and I knew, I can tell a lot of things is in simple rebellion. And it would hinder me. And you know, it was probably a worse sin for me than it was for the person that was rebelling. So now, I don't say anything to hinder, and God's helped me that I can say things and do it a little bit better, a little bit different now, not being hypocritical about it, but not, I can tell you, we can be too blunt and hurt people if it's not of God. It's good to be blunt and straight, but we better know it's of God. We better know it's of God. But when we see folks that aren't living like they know to live, deep down they know... that's not between you and them. That's between them and God. And where I have to get the victory is I'm fighting a battle to overcome that I don't take this personal. Anybody else understand what I'm saying? I can't take it personal. If I do, then it could be a battle that I lose victory over. It's a battle between them and Satan, and if the Lord don't help them, that's between them and God. We cannot let it affect our ability to serve the Lord and to be able to preach. And I do my best. I know I have preached things that was straight and hard, and there ain't a whole lot of folks left anymore that'll preach a standard. Most folks don't even know what a standard is anymore. Standard of living. And I know... I mean, we've got too smart in this day and time. Folks will tell you it don't really make any difference. Man look at the outward, but God looks at the heart. That's the truest statement ever been made. But most of it's taken out of context. God was not looking at the clothes that David was wearing. He's talking about David being little of stature. Men are looking at him as him not being able to fight. Not nothing to do with clothes. Wasn't concerned about his boots. So it's taken out of context. Have you ever took anything out of context? I sure have. Have you ever preached a subject that was different than what it really was? I sure have. I sure have. But I can tell you, folks, tonight, if we ever keep the victory, it'll be because we have fought the battle and allowed God to furnish the house to keep us in His house. God bless you.